This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wild Card Weekend. It's a beautiful sunny day in Pittsburgh. We hope you're going to have a great weekend, and thanks for joining me here on the Bob Pompiani Show with Matt Harkins, driving the truck down the road here. He's in the fast lane. He'll take your calls. If you call 412-928-9370, that is the number. It's also the number of the fan hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. Remember, you can follow this station on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. So, I'm here for 90 minutes before we begin with the first of three wildcard games. It would be Indianapolis and Buffalo on KDKA-TV, and that's a big one for all Steeler fans concerned, because if the Steelers should win, and if Buffalo wins, they're going to go to Buffalo. However, if Buffalo loses, that opens the door for the Steelers hosting a next-round opponent against either Baltimore or Tennessee. We're going to break down all those, but I want to hear from you, too, your thoughts about the state of where the NFL is right now, given the fact the Browns haven't practiced all week. Their facility has been locked shut most of the week. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. And like I said, this is going to be an interesting game. It's been a wild season. More points than ever scored before as a league. Almost 13,000 points. Almost 1,500 touchdowns. That's more than any in the previous 100 years. There's been a lot of offense in this league. And a lot of close games, too. 70% of them have been decided by less than one touchdown going into the fourth quarter. So you can expect some crazy stuff to happen in the wild card. You can also expect some upsets, because the road club has won six of the last eight NFL wild card games over the past 2 years. So that begins today. And if I'm looking at a road club that can win today, Tampa Bay would be probably number one on my list. Although Washington with a point sounds like a good bet, just because Washington's really good against the pass. That's what Tom Brady does. You may also, if you're looking to, put something down on it, Tom Brady averages, I think, 289 yards per game passing. The over and under on how many he'll get tonight is 293. Washington doesn't give up a lot. That could be a good under bet if you're looking for something. Just saying. So it's Indy and Buffalo today. That's at 1. 440 we'll have the Rams at Seattle. A good division matchup in the first round. And then Tampa Bay at Washington. That's an 8:15 start. Tomorrow, of course, 1 o'clock, it'll be Baltimore and Tennessee. Chicago, New Orleans at 4:40. That's a KDK game. And then 8:15 on NBC tomorrow, it's Cleveland and Pittsburgh. We want to talk about that game specifically. As I look at this, I think the Steelers are as healthy as they've ever been, at least minus Dupree and minus Bush since then. They have coming back Robert Spillane, who is very much needed for this game, given the fact that the Browns run the game as much as they do. And you're going to have to stop them. Although it's going to be tough for the Browns. As you know, their best offensive lineman, Joel Bitonio, is out with COVID. He tested positive. He's not going to play. But yesterday, an interesting development, Jack Conklin, who's a really good right tackle, he missed practice because of a so-called illness, which we're not sure what that means at this point. There are a lot of informational things we don't know about as we head into this weekend. But if he should miss as well, boy, the Steelers with Tuitt, with Alualu and with Hayward up front, they don't necessarily have to blitz a lot to contain what they have to do, because they can dominate just up front. I mean, Cam Hayward's had a monster season. A lot of people wondered why the Steelers signed him when they did, just because of his age. Well, the answer is because he's coming off tremendous season last year, and he's followed it up with a tremendous season this year as the second-team All-Pro. Steelers had two first-team All-Pros, by the way, T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick. I was a little surprised by Minkah Fitzpatrick, although I thought he had a good year. I didn't think he equaled what he did last year, but he gets the vote nonetheless. So, with Conklin maybe out and with Betonio out, the Steelers should be able to do some havoc up front with their front three. If they decide to say so, they're going to have to help on one side with T.J. Watt, which opens up the other side. I think Alex Highsmith has played extremely well, and I think he can go to town. He had probably his best game last week in Cleveland, and I think that could continue today, tomorrow, again, if this situation continues to develop on the Browns' offensive line. As far as their game plan, to me, it has to be run, Chubb, run. You know the interesting thing? They have both guys went over 1,000 yards this year. The only team in the NFL to do that. Chubb, along with Kareem Hunt. But the Browns, like in last week's game, I thought they hurt themselves a lot by not running Chubb more. He only had 14 carries for the day, I believe 8 in the first half and then 6 in the second. And he had a 47-yard touchdown run in that. He said, you know, this guy is, he's the Derrick Henry of their team. While Hunt's a very good runner, I think he's more effective in the pass game. I would run Nick Chubb ahead of Kareem Hunt in this game if I were them. And if the Steelers stop it, then I think you've got Baker Mayfield in trouble, because Mayfield's not had very good results in Pittsburgh. Earlier this year, you might remember right off the bat in that game, it was a 38-7 final, but it was a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception pick six that started the day for the Steelers real quick. And it was Baker Mayfield kind of just throwing an ill-advised pass based on pressure. If they should stop the run game and put pressure on Baker Mayfield, I don't see how this is going to be good for Cleveland. And listen, I'm just looking at this broad picture here. Cleveland has not had a full practice pretty much all week. They've had to do a lot of virtual stuff. Their place has been locked down. They have guys on the COVID list. They have guys testing every day. Their head coach can't be a part of the game day activity, even though he could and has worked with them all the way through. I don't know how you can make a case that Cleveland Browns win unless the Steelers contribute to it. You know, to me, it's an interesting line because I think it's still 6 or 6.5, and I would have expected that to be a higher line. I know it's predicated on money spent, who puts money here, who puts money there, and they move the line based on the money. I get it. But I still would have expected it to be a bigger spread than this, considering the Steelers are healthy. They rested players. They should be in a good position, whereas the Browns are in kind of a chaotic situation now because of all of this. And you also wonder about play calling. Kevin Stefanski won't be able to do it. You think in technology maybe the NFL would have figured out a way to do it, but the rules based on this COVID are that you can't. So he can have contact with him on game day up until 90 minutes before, then you can't do another thing until after the game. So that means Alex Van Pelt, Pitt's all-time passing leader, is going to be calling the plays. Not that he can't, but the bottom line is he hasn't done it. There could be a communication break now. Now, the good thing is that there are no fans in the stands. I think this would have really helped the Steelers in a game like this. And that's another topic. Why aren't there fans in the stands? I don't understand why this cannot be done in a very small, limited capacity. You know, masks worn, all the safety protocol in place. I mean, at some point you have to get on. You know, if you're fearful of every little thing, you're never going to get anything accomplished here. I think we've seen in other places fans can be there. We're going to see fans at different NFL sites this weekend, but we won't see it in Pittsburgh. You will, family and friends and some suite holders, but that's about it. That's another story for another day, but I just don't understand the logic behind it. All right, let's go to Ozzy on the cell, who joins us today on the Hall and Capitas hotline. What's up, Ozzy? How are you?
I am good. Hi. So, recently I was talking with my dad, and we were talking about Steelers draft. Do you think that we could trade away a player, maybe a few picks, to get a top maybe 15 pick and try to get either an offensive lineman or a quarterback?
Well, you're going to have to go up higher to get, I think, the quarterback you want, Ozzy. And I don't, you know, the Steelers have done some unusual things in the last couple of years. I think the move to trade a number one pick was met with some shock, number one, when they traded it to Miami to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. Turned out to be a very good deal. The guy's been 2 years at Pittsburgh, and both have been first-team Pro Bowl, All-Pro. So that worked out well. They've made trades to move up. They traded to 10th to get Devin Bush. That was rare. They hadn't done it. So, therefore, because they've done it, it would make you entertain that thought. But I think they're not in a position to do that right now, to move that far up. And it, whatever it would take draft equity-wise, I don't think they're willing to do that. I also have to think that they came away with a pretty good grade on Mason Rudolph last week, and I think they believe that he could be Ben's backup for one more year. I think Roethlisberger has every intention of playing again next season. After that, who knows? But so they could wait a little bit, unless somebody falls closer to them that they really like. Remember, they had a third-round pick of Mason Rudolph, but they evaluated him as a first-round level. If something like that happens, maybe, but I think generally speaking, they're just going to see where, you know, they're going to pick late in the first round. You still can get some pretty good people, as we've seen in the first, second, third rounds. You still there, Ozzy, or are you gone? You're probably gone. Right. Thank you for calling, Ozzy. Appreciate that from a younger perspective at 412-928-9370. No, I don't expect them to do that. I expect them to just, but I do expect them to go after offensive line. I think it's one of their top issues. You know, when you're looking at it, they need some help there. They just have guys getting older. You have to start that process. Speaking of that, Matt Filer was also another guy who returned to practice, and I get the feeling that they're going to like him in place of Kevin Dotson. I thought Kevin Dotson played extremely well in the time there, and what are, talk about value, a fourth-round pick for an offensive lineman who's really good at what he does. If you looked at the tape, a lot of you can't see it. We see different angles from coaches' tapes, and I mean, the guy is very solid, especially in run blocking, but that bodes well for them. So, but Filer gives them some experience, and I think they're going to try to lean on that experience there. But you're going to need as many guys as you can get. There's no question. One of the key matchups, speaking of Steelers' offensive line, will be Alejandro Villanueva against Myles Garrett. Now, last week, Garrett had zero quarterback sacks, zero quarterback hits, was not effective at all. And remember, they've lost Olivier Vernon, too. So he was injured in last week's game with a ruptured Achilles. He won't play. The Browns are out of possession. Why I'm shocked that this line is only 6 or 6.5. I just don't get that. Unless I'm missing something. Unless the Steelers contribute to this, to me, there's no way the Browns can win. I think the Steelers will advance. I also think Buffalo will advance. Allen and company are healthy. They've got some good weapons there. They're playing at home for the first time in 25 years. I think that team is ready to take a next step. And so Pittsburgh, and the way I look at it, will be at Buffalo. Although it would be nice to see the Indianapolis Colts somehow do something and pull an upset, because that gives the Steelers the opportunity to host another game next week. We'll break down all these games coming up. I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPomp. I want to thank our sponsors, who make it all possible every single time we're on the air here. Allegheny Health Network, make today the day, from PNC Bank. We also have number one Cochran, ride in style with number one Cochran, Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, as well as Ireland Contracting, the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call, 7 nights a week on Pittsburgh CW. And just a shameless promotion, TV, we got a lot of TV for you tonight. We have a virtual Steelers pep rally coming up. You can watch that one from 7 until 8 tonight on KDK-TV. We'll also be taking some of your calls doing that. We have video from viewers, from people who are Steeler fans. This will also be running on all the Steeler digital platforms. That's tonight, 7 to 8 on KDKA. And then tonight after the late news on KDK, 11:35, Missy Matthews and I will present another edition of the Mike Tomlin Show, all getting you set for the big game this coming Sunday night at Heinz Field against the Browns. We'll take a break. We got more coming up. I want to hear from you. We'll break down the games. We'll also talk about the Penguins, who had to cancel their practice today because of COVID-19 issues. We'll talk about their team as they get ready to embark on another season. It's all coming up. I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. As we roll along until 12:30, that's when we'll join the pregame show for the Bills and Colts coming up today live on 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani with you. Matt Harkins is back at the studio. You can reach him at 412-928-9370. Our thanks to PNC Bank. Make today the day. And number one Cochran, go one better. As always, proud sponsors of the program. Appreciate that. We've been talking a lot about Steelers. I still want to hear your take on that or any other game you may have. But I also wanted to widen the topic conversation list to include the Penguins because they've gone through training camp unaffected so far until today. An hour before the media was scheduled to arrive at PPG Paints Arena, they had to cancel their practice because of what they term an abundance of concern over coronavirus. You know, if you had a horse race, you can come up with a lot of names. It would be the first annual COVID-19 horse race someplace in Kentucky. One of the names would be abundance of concern on the outside. You hear these terms, you know, and abundance of concern. Being pressured now by, we're all in this together, here comes Fauci. But obviously this is something they're taking seriously and should. But it makes you wonder about moving forward. What they do tomorrow and what they do the next day. Their opener is coming up on Wednesday at Philadelphia, 5:30 game. And remember, these are all four-point games, 56 games all within the division. So they all matter, which should make it interesting. And I wonder how many games Tristan Jarry will play in. A lot of people came to the conclusion that Matt Murray should have been traded, and he was. And I understand. I mean, he's been far removed from his last opportunity at a Stanley Cup. That was 3 years ago, and Matt Murray is a young enough guy. They got the money in Ottawa, so they made that deal. You know, Tristan Jarry, if you may forget, but even though he did not, you know, given the opportunity in the playoffs, it was Matt Murray who was the choice of Mike Sullivan. It was Tristan Jarry who had an all-star season last year. In fact, he had the best goals against of any goaltender, I believe, in the first half of the season. If not, he was one of the top five. But I think he was, and he got the opportunity. He made the most of the opportunity, and so they like that. And he's a more athletic guy, I think, than Matt Murray, too, in terms of flexibility, his ability to play the puck, all those things. I think the question will be, how effective can he be? Goaltending is always going to be one of the things that you look forward to as being a reason for you to go on deep into the playoffs or not. And I thought, you know, Tristan Jarry earned the opportunity. He's going to get it with Casey DeSmith as his backup. They also have Kasperi Kapanen flying in. He's supposed to arrive today. He has to go through an 8-day quarantine. He had immigration issues. It means he's going to probably miss 2 or 3 games right off the start, and he is penciled in on that top line with Crosby and Gensel. Right now it's Evan Rodriguez who has that spot, but I think that's obviously going to change. They have some depth there. We'll talk about the Penguins more as we go along, but are you pro-con? Do you think they could not only get into the playoffs but advance deeper, something they didn't do last year? And while I see a lot of people are saying, well, it's, you know, Crosby and Malkin are older. Yes, they are. But what they also are smarter. I think they have the experience. You know, we talk often about NFL quarterbacks who age. Look at Tom Brady. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Ben Roethlisberger. They hit you in other ways. They're smarter. They get the game better. Mentally, they use that to their advantage. I think Crosby and Malkin are in the same boat. That's not to say they can't still physically do it, but if they've taken a step back, they still can make up for that with their smarts, with their hockey IQ. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Mike in Bethel Park. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Yeah, hey, Bob. I totally agree with you earlier. Overlooked with the offensive line and center. It's kind of getting coming apart with age pretty soon and pretty fast. And you have probably 100 Division I and another 50 Division II schools. There's probably 300 possible offensive linemen that could be scouted, and I think I agree with you. No, you're the only one talking about it. They have to address that line immediately, I think, this year with 2, 3, or possibly even another pick with that. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Matt. Thank you. Appreciate it. I do think, and thanks for the call, too. Appreciate that, Mike. Just age is age. In the NFL, your life expectancy is not all that long. Alejandro Villanueva, you know, they have a list of unrestricted free agents, all right? So if I ran down that list for you, which I may do now, just because I think if you look at it, they're going to have to make tough decisions. Villanueva is one of them, if I jog my memory. Mike Hilton is another one that, you know, you have to address this situation one way or the other. Matt Filer falls into that group. Of course, we've talked a lot about Juju Smith-Schuster, and I want to get into some of his comments this week that I think were unnecessary, but he does it because he does it. James Conner's in that boat. They have a lot of big-name people who are unrestricted free agents, and they're going to have to figure out what to do. They also have, burning on the outside, is T.J. Watt and an enormous contract that he will get. Minkah Fitzpatrick right after that. You have to, you know, save money for these guys. But Villanueva will go someplace, and I'm sure he'll sign for a nice deal. I do. I still think he can play, but I think they're going to have to address that just because they have to save some money somewhere. So who do you save? Who do you go out and, you know, try to, bring in? Or is it just better to draft them all and just, you know, like they did with Kevin Dotson? You know, Chukwuma Okorafor, he's a draft pick. They liked him a lot. They've had others. They're going to have to get more and hit on those offensive linemen. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have Anthony in Oakland who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Anthony? How are you today?
You know, Bob, I'll say for another day what I think about Governor Wolf and this ridiculous nonsense about not allowing fans at the stadium. But
you can say it now if you want, because I agree with you. I think it's nonsense.
No, but it would take you don't have that much time, and it'll take away from my football comments. You know what? I am not one of those who have fallen into the Ben Roethlisberger trap here, people. If the Steelers could have played as well as they did in that second half of the Indy game, why weren't they doing it? If they were going deep, if that was the solution, and thank God the coach from Indy helped them out by abandoning the running game, or they would have never came back in that game if Indy would have stayed with that. I don't think it's a magic wand, and all of a sudden everything's fixed. He can't do what he used to do, and he's not doing what he's done this year very well either. And the $41 million cap hit is a hindrance to this team. And honestly, I wish Colbert would have retired, because sometimes people get too close to the scene and don't look at it for the overall betterment of the team and look more at their relationships.
So you're telling me you don't think Roethlisberger can do what he did in the second half against Indy moving forward?
Of course not. But Bob,
what do you mean, of course not? He did it in the second half of the game when they were down big and they had to come back and win.
Bob, if he could have, why didn't he do it in the Washington game? Why didn't he do it in the Cincinnati game? Why didn't he do it in the Baltimore game? Why? I mean, come on, guys.
Well, I think my answer to that, Anthony, was because I think they also got really, really too close to that streak of not having him sacked in 258 snaps. They got really intrigued with the fact that he got the ball out in 2.5 seconds. They were doing things more for that than anything else, and that short game passing, they believe, has benefits. But when the leagues start catching on to it, that's when they needed to adjust. They went through a three-week period where they did not adjust to any of that, and they lost those games. That's what we saw in the second half of the Colts game, an adjustment, and they did it. Now, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow night, and we'll find out if they play on after that what it's like. But I saw throws that made me think he still has velocity on the arm. They don't have to be 58-yard throws in the air, but they do have to be over 20 yards in the air, and I think he can still do that.
Bob, yeah, he can do it periodically. But look, I looked at it statistically the other day. Do you know that Mason Rudolph completed more deep passes in that one game than Ben Roethlisberger did for the whole season? You know that? I just saw that in one of these
Mason Rudolph, that's his game. That's what they've kind of catered to his game. Roethlisberger, they believe, is more effective if they do those. Now, the problem is if you don't get to the line of scrimmage and you start doing it too routinely, you pack the box and you end up inviting press coverage and you end up inviting clogged areas. And that's where they needed to adjust earlier than they did.
Uh-huh. Bob, listen. Last week, Baltimore went into Cincinnati and it looked like brick screed. The Steelers went into Cincinnati and lost by 10. The Bengals looked like they were the ones playing for the division.
There's nobody disputing that. You're right. That was an awful performance.
I'm sorry. And you know what? That's still imprinted in my mind. So I have no faith,
gotcha.
Unfortunately.
I understand. We'll find out. But
all right.
Let me ask you something from just an overall, if you were to bet on this game. See, I don't see, given all the disturbances. Now, I will say this. Cleveland will be playing with house money because no one expects them to win. That takes a lot of pressure off of them, where all of the pressure will be on the Steelers. But shouldn't that line be a little higher? And I'm not trying to overdo this. I just am surprised because of all the turbulence in Cleveland with all the people being out, and their offensive line could be without Jack Conklin on top of Bitonio. I don't see a way that they could come in here and win it unless the Steelers help them do it.
But Bob. People 5 weeks ago saw a Motley Crue MASH unit come in here and take the Steelers to the final plays of the game.
I get it.
They're looking at it like I'm looking at it. I'm dispassionately. I love the Steelers, but I look at them dispassionately. And they see what I see. An inconsistent ragtag who are counting on a 38-year-old quarterback whose arm is not the same anymore. And
no one's disputing the arm not being the same. What I am saying is that he's capable of throwing the ball 20 yards in the air down the field with velocity. There have been examples of that. I don't.
Well, they better hope. They better hope he does.
Yeah, he has
not,
to.
They're going home early.
Because I think the Browns are going to challenge that. I think the Browns are going to look for
decision making then.
Hey, listen. When it comes, if it comes to that, absolutely right. There's a lot, but I'm just telling. I'm asking you, Anthony. Are you? If you had money on this game, how would you bet it?
I would bet more with Cleveland.
You
after
take
what
points.
I saw with the Cincinnati Bengals, who were worse.
You think
than
they'll win outright or just cover the spread?
I'm not a spread, cover the spread player. I'm just looking at it from what I saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers lately. And Cleveland, they look like they'll come in here and they're going to do roughhouse on the Steelers with that running game. They're not going to abandon it like Indy. And the Steelers, I don't know if they'll hold up. I don't know because, I'm getting this mixed message. Yeah, they went short because they're worried about seconds. You better worry about wins. I ain't worried about how quick he can get the ball out. I'm worried about can he get the ball in the end zone.
We'll see. Baker Mayfield's not had any success in Pittsburgh. I expect that to continue just because I don't think they're going to be able to do what you suggest and run the ball down their throats. They should have done it last week, but they gave up on that in the first half, and they invited the Steelers to be in a game. You know, if you want to look at it from that point of view, Anthony, there were people in Cleveland whining, how could they be in this game in the fourth quarter when the Steelers are playing nobody? So it goes week to week, and I'm looking at it objectively in the fact that they haven't had – their facility's been closed largely all week. They don't have a lot of healthy people anywhere. They have COVID situations, including their head coach. I think there is a disturbance there that could result in confusion and who knows what. I would be very cautious if I had to take Cleveland in the points. That's all I'm saying.
Who was worse off, Baltimore when they came flying in town or Cleveland?
Well, there's no question Baltimore was.
And what happened?
The Steelers won.
Yeah, barely.
Okay.
Barely.
I get it. It was an ugly game. I'm not
Bob,
saying
I love
that.
You, man.
Anthony, love you too. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. All right, we'll continue this until 12:30. All right, welcome back as we continue here up until 12:30 with open lines. So call 412-928-9370. You could also hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp, as Frank Ski has done. He has a baseball question, or at least an opinion. He says, here's how I've accepted the Josh Bell trade. You've got two organizations, Pirates and Nationals. Pirates, Bell's no good, produced only 1 year, we don't need him. Nats, Bell is a bounce-back candidate, we'll trade for him. So the question is, who's right? 412-928-9370, I think the Nats are right. I think Bell has more in him. I think the Pirates should have waited if they were going to trade him, which they seem to do with everybody. In case you missed it also, the Nationals have signed Kyle Schwarber to a 1 year deal. So they add him and Bell now to the situation. That's how you increase your power. The Pirates don't have much of it. They're still thinking about trading Musgrove potentially or Stephen Brault, Adam Frazier. I mean, those have all been talked about in the public. But the bottom line is they're not going to be very competitive this year whenever they start. And I hope they start on time in April. We'll see how it goes. By the way, our thanks to PNC Bank. Always make today the day. Check out their virtual wallet. It's very good. It helps you with your finances. And number one, Cochrane, go one better. It's our weekly trip to Staten Island, New York. We got Lou. What's up, Lou? How you doing?
Hey, Bob. Always good to hear you, man, on a Saturday afternoon.
You too, man.
Morning, afternoon. Bob, one thing about Anthony from Oakland. The only thing we have in common is we root for the same team. But usually our opinions are completely opposite. And he's in the camp of a lot of Steelers fans, which make me shake my head, and that is this. Before last week, they were calling for Josh Dobbs to play over Rudolph, the same Josh Dobbs who couldn't beat out a guy named Josh Luton, who was the quarterback for Jacksonville when he had an ample opportunity to win that starting job last year. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt when they're all looking to throw our quarterback under the bus. Now, listen, has he played well? Not really. Is he a $40 million quarterback at this point in his career? Of course not. But they have a short memory, Bob. You go back longer than me. I talk to Ron Cook all the time, too. He goes back further than me as well. We went 25 or 26 years of mediocrity, losing playoff games because we didn't have a star quarterback. So before we're going to throw this man under the bus, let's not forget that, all right? The other thing is this. Tomorrow's game, Bob, the number one thing, the most important thing, is first down run defense. If we put Cleveland in second and third and long, we're going to win this game relatively easily. On the flip side, if they're running the ball early and they're converting third downs and Roethlisberger does not play like he did play in that second half, could we lose the game? Absolutely. There's no question we could. So, to me,
I get that. I will also, I'll add to you, Lou, and just say this. The Steelers, who have not started well at all for their past 10 games, I mean, they're dead last when it comes to points in the first quarter of games. They can't afford that. One thing I'll say about the Browns, and you can take these numbers however you want, but they haven't lost when they led at halftime. And the last thing you want to do is dig out. What they did against the Colts happened because I think the Colts also outsmarted themselves. But they took advantage of it. The Steelers need to start quickly. They haven't done it in about 2 months. Their first possessions have been three and out. They're one of the best teams in the league in three and outs. That's not a category you want to lead. So it's very important that they start well, and we'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, if they stop Chubb, I think Cleveland's in big trouble, because while I think Baker Mayfield can be a good complementary quarterback, and I think he can be very effective at that, Lou, I don't think he could be one of these guys who has to throw the ball 50 times and expect to pull the team back from a deficit.
Absolutely, especially in the playoff game and on the road. But what goes hand-in-hand, what you said, Bob, was totally correct, is that our defense is getting tired because they're out there all game long. You know what I mean? And eventually you wear down, especially with the injuries. But before, Bob, moving ahead real quick, what I'm rooting for today is this, and this is not what some Steelers fans are rooting for, but trust me when I tell you, this is what we should be rooting for. We're rooting for Buffalo to win their game, because if Baltimore beats Tennessee, let them go play Kansas City. If Buffalo loses their game against Indianapolis, then we got to play Baltimore. I'd rather take my chances of going into Buffalo if we win tomorrow and having Baltimore and Kansas City beat themselves up. And if, let's say, Kansas City does beat Baltimore, then at least they went through a war with Baltimore potentially, and then we roll the dice, and if we happen to beat Buffalo, we do. But I don't want it the other way. You were rooting for Buffalo today, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want Indianapolis winning that game, because then they go to Kansas City, and then we have to play the winner of Baltimore-Tennessee, which most likely will be Baltimore.
Well, I agree with that. In fact, I'm not most likely. I think Baltimore is a lock, in my view, to win that game. And I know Tennessee beat him this year, and I know Tennessee beat him last year. All the more reason for me to think Baltimore is going to win this time around. And the thing about Baltimore is they're operating on all cylinders right now. Tennessee's defense stinks. If you look at their last three games, they've given up over 40, and I think all of them. They just can't stop anyone. And, you know, Baltimore has a lot of memories of what Tennessee did to them. So I think the Baltimore Ravens are a much better team. I understand that point. But no matter who it is, you're going to have to play well, whether it's here in Buffalo, Lou, or whether it's here against the Ravens or Tennessee or whatever. The thing about Buffalo is a lot of these guys haven't been through it. Is that what you're talking about?
They have a young team, and you got Diggs who's hurt. You got the other receiver who's hurt. We don't even know if they're going to be playing today. So, you know, and we played them. And listen, we played that first half pretty competitive. We melted down in the second half because they made some adjustments we didn't, and we were short on defense. But, you know, remember, too, the home field advantage isn't as strong. So years ago, of course, I'd rather have Baltimore at home, but there's no home field advantage. And you said something before, Anthony, Bob, and I'm smiling on the other side listening to you guys, and you were totally right, and I'm going to spin it on you here. If Baltimore was such a lock, why is that spread only 3? And it's the same argument you can say with the Steelers. They're begging for you to take Baltimore. Everybody's taking Baltimore. So for some strange reason, that line hasn't moved.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. They're normally right. The wise guys know what they're doing. But I will say this. I don't think there's a question who's playing better right now. Baltimore is playing better than Tennessee. And I think because they've lost twice in a row to them and they knocked them out as the number one seed last year, that's going to run deep with the Ravens. And I look for them to be able to score at will against the Tennessee defense. That's just the way it's been with the Titans. So.
Yeah,
we'll
I agree with that, Bob, and I'll say this too. If you're right, and they blow Tennessee out, or they say they win easily, they go into Kansas City. If we win our game, Kansas City hasn't played in 3 weeks. They haven't been playing that well, actually, if you've been watching the last couple of games. They've been squeaking wins out.
Yeah, but they can turn it on when they have to. I'm convinced of that.
I could see Baltimore going into Kansas City and actually beating them, getting on them early, and having an actual legitimate shot. If they win easy today, and then, you know, you ride the momentum going in there, it would not surprise me if they do that. And let's just say we beat Buffalo, we have a home game in the championship game. That's where my mind is. I'm hoping for that route.
Well, that's an interesting route. It would take a lot for that to happen. Lou, thanks as always. Appreciate your call from Staten Island. And we are due for a commercial break. We want to thank once again PNC Bank, number one Cochrane, all our sponsors. A reminder to you as well, we have a lot of Steeler coverage coming up your way. Today at 7 o'clock, it's an hour of a virtual pep rally on KDK-TV and all the Steeler digital devices. Charlie Batch will join me. If you want to ask Charlie a question, you can do that. Later in the show, Andrew Filippone of 93.7 The Fan will join me. We have virtual hit-ups with our fans who are going to be watching, so it's going to be a cool time. Given the fact that no one is allowed at Heinz Field tomorrow for this game. We have more coming up until 12:30. You want to call. This is your place to do it. 412-928-937. We're talking Steelers, Penguins, anything else with you. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show as we roll along right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.